Glory is the assembled devotees. All glory is the assembled devotees. All glory is to Shri Guru and Gauranga Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. Gaur Premananda Hari Hari. So, Om Gana Timiranda Shah Gananjana Shlakaya Chakshur Meditam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha. So, this evening, I want to speak about Purushottam month, Purushottam Mas. And one of the pastimes that's associated with this month. First of all, we'll speak about the month. As some of you are aware, hopefully all of you are aware, that in the Vedic system we follow the moon calendar. In the West, they follow the sun calendar. So practically every traditional culture followed the moon calendar. It's not only the Vedic tradition, Israelis and originally the Christians, they followed the moon calendar, and it's a modern invention to follow the sun calendar. Why? So why the moon calendar? You may ask, you know, why don't we follow the sun calendar? Because the moon influences people's minds. The moon has actually more influence on us than the sun. That may come as a surprise. Of course, the sun is responsible, being the eye of Krishna, for providing all the nutrition for all the for the sunshine and the vegetables and everything like that. The moon gives the flavor. So, you see, during different phases of the moon, people's psychology changes. Like on the full moon, they have more crazy people. They're called lunatics. Luna, the word luna actually is a word that means moon. So lunatic means a crazy person. So, anybody will tell you that. So the moon is actually extremely important because it sort of affects the mind and the mood. It's the presiding deity of the mind and affects the moods and the mind. So, the Vedic calendar is based on the moon. And also, the most important Supreme Personality of Godhead appeared in the Moon Dynasty. Right? And who was that?
Krishna.
That's good. And another manifestation of God appeared in the Sun Dynasty. And who was that? Lord Ram. So Lord Ram is the Surya Vamsa, Krishna is the Soma Vamsa. So because Krishna appeared in the Soma Vamsa, we also have another reason for following the moon calendar. But the one of the problems with the moon calendar, it doesn't exactly coincide, if you have 12 months a year, it doesn't exactly coincide with the different seasons. So every, 2.5 years, you got to add a leap month. Everybody understands that? Even in the sun calendar, every 4 years, you got to add a leap day. Does everybody know that? And that year is called a leap year. So because you have to make sure that different months are aligned with different seasons, which is very important either in the West or in the East. So, this is a month that appears every few years. And so, the ritualistic brahmanas in India, they generally consider this month to be inauspicious, or what's called a mal mas, inauspicious month. So there's a whole story in the Puranas, because in India, we understand, in the Vedic tradition, we understand that the different aspects of the material creation have a personality behind them. Like, does anyone know the name of the earth, the personality of the earth? What's the name?
No one
knows. Bhumi, right? So that's the personality of the earth. And right now, everybody's attacking her. How are they attacking her? They're, of course, killing the cows. They're drilling in the earth. They are global warming. Anyone's heard of global warming here? And basically, unless we conform with the Earth's desires, the Earth is going to try to get rid of us. And so one way the Earth tried to get rid of people 5,000 years ago is the Earth went to Lord Brahma, lodged a complaint, and Lord Brahma went to Lord Vishnu, and he gave his complaint, and guess what? Lord Vishnu agreed to come down as Krishna and arrange for getting rid of a whole bunch of people at one time. And what was that called? The Mahabharata War. I mean, millions of people died within a few days because the earth wanted to get rid of them. There were too many demoniac. That's true. It was the earth who started the whole thing. Isn't that true? The earth went to Lord Brahma. Lord Brahma went to the shore of the ocean of milk, meditated. Krishna spoke within the heart, told him that I will come down and all you demigods should also come down. And therefore you find that many of the personalities who appeared, especially members of the Yadu dynasty, were demigods who came to assist Krishna in his pastimes. So, anyway, so even the month of this leap month, which is called Purushottam month, Purushottam, of course, means Uttama means the topmost person. Everybody understand that? Sanskrit? I guess Hindi is similar. Purusha means person. Uttama means the top person. Like we say, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, the original Supreme Personality of Godhead. That's a similar expression. So it means the topmost month. So you have many ritualistic Brahmanas saying, hey, we don't like this month. Did you know that in India? There's many ritualistic Karmakanji Brahmanas who say, we don't like this month, we're not going to do any sacrifices. I guess they'd look for any excuse to take time off for vacation. Just like one thing they've come up with recently is Pitapak. You've heard about that before? Pitapak. You know, the two-week, I don't know if you have that here, but in UP, they do celebrate that, where for 2 weeks you just worship the forefathers and you don't worship Krishna anymore. You've heard about that before? No, I guess not in Bengal they don't have that. But in UP and in some of the other states they celebrate that. They came up with that. So they don't worship Krishna, they don't come to the temple. And then they have another 2 weeks where they just worship the demigods and they don't worship Krishna. It's called Devapak. Anyway, people come up with so many crazy things. So the Brahmanas, they were saying, oh, this month's not so auspicious. So the story goes as follows, that the personality of the month, it's interesting, the personality of the month, the personality of Purushottamas went to Krishna to complain about it, and Krishna said, look, that's why you're called Purushottamas, you know, because you are non-different from me. The month is considered non-different from Krishna. Sometimes the devotees consider this month to be the second Kartik. Kartik is called Damodar. That Kartik is a very special month. Devotees execute special austerities. Actually, during the whole Chaturmas period, devotees execute austerities, some very, very severe austerities. There's one austerity that I've heard many devotees do, is that they only eat once a day a havisha, you know, like unspiced food, and they tie their hands behind their back. You've heard about this before? They put their hands behind the back and they go down like a duck deep, and they can only eat what they eat one time. As soon as they come up, that's it. That's a pretty heavy austerity, isn't it? I guess some people could do it. It would be a good way of reducing weight. Good weight reduction. What do you think, Dhamma Control? So, you go down like that. So, that's a very heavy austerity, and we don't advocate that. Some devotees in the past have actually grown their beards when it's a very hot season, hot and muggy season. That's another austerity they do, or some people chant more rounds. So that's the Chaturmasa, and also specifically the Kartik month. So during Purushottama month, which is actually a very auspicious month, non-different from Krishna, the second Kartik month, different people do different things. There's three different types of people who approach this particular month. One type is called the Swanishta people. The people who are interested in just getting something material out of the month. Similar to Karma Kanja, where people approach Krishna or do Vedic sacrifices to become wealthy or to have good health or something self-centered. So these people do special austerities, and the austerities for people like that, if you really want to be successful materially and you're not interested in the spiritual things, are very heavy. One of the austerities recommended in the Shastras is sleeping at night on a bed of nails. Can any of you do that? You become wealthy. Why don't you do that? You become the wealthiest taxi driver in the city.
Of course, you probably won't get too much sleep. You probably crash your taxi the next day because you're not sleeping. So that's the Swanishta people. And then there's the Padanishta, another approach to the month. You know, people who want to become detached from this material world. And what they do is certain ceremonies like havans and everything else during this month. And the final category is the Nirapeksha. And those are the devotees. And the devotees, what they do during this month is they just increase their hearing and chanting about Krishna's pastimes. And that's the nicest way to approach things. Because Nirapeksha basically means disinterested in this world. Like we find in the Chaitanya Charitamrita, Bhukti Mukti Siddhi Kam Sakalaya Shanta Krishna Bhakta Nishkam Ataiva Shanta. That someone who is interested in this world, Bhukti or Mukti, sense gratification, powers, Siddhi, or even liberation, he's not peaceful. But a devotee is Shanta, peaceful because he's simply interested in pleasing Krishna. So we commemorate this month by increasing our Krishna Katha and decreasing our Maya Katha, which is called Gramya Katha. You've heard of Gramya Katha? Gramya Katha means ordinary talks like politics, news, things that are really not productive to Krishna consciousness. So generally a devotee should give up what's called prajalpa. You've all heard of prajalpa before. Isn't it? Atjahara prayasas cha prajalpa nimagraha janasangas chaloyam cha sabirvati vinashati. So in the Upadeshamrita, it mentions things that deviate us from the purity of heart that we require to become Krishna conscious. You know, over-collecting, over-endeavoring, following the rules and regulations ritualistically or not following the rules and regulations, associating with non-Vaishnavas, on the other hand, prajalpa. Prajalpa means basically things that have nothing to do with Krishna. So we try to reduce these things in this month and increase our chanting and hearing of Krishna. And like many devotees during Kartik, they go to Vrindavan. I go to Vrindavan generally during Kartik and I increase my chanting. And also Ekadashi is a very important day to do that. Usually on Ekadashi, if I'm not engaged in preaching or doing something for Prabhupada's mission, I'll chant 64 rounds. Has anyone here ever chanted 64 rounds? Raise your hand. One. Wow. Only one person. Any of the ladies? Okay. One, two. Pretty good. Two, three devotees here. No. You haven't. So, do you know something? If you chant 64 rounds, even one day it'll change your whole life. When I chant 64 rounds, I experience 16 rounds is just the warm-up. You know warm-up?
Yeah.
Like if you have a game, yeah. You know, football game, there's a warm-up, the players warm up before the game, and the actual game begins. So 16 rounds is just like warming up before the actual game of chanting Hare Krishna. So the 16 rounds is very important, but 64, the Ekadasi, some devotees can try. I guarantee you'll change your whole life if you've been chanting 64 rounds in some Ekadasi. Okay. So, another interesting thing is there are certain pastimes that are recommended to be meditated on during this particular month. I mean, of course, one song that we sing is the Jagannath Ashtaka on this particular month. And that, actually, I was looking today because I heard this from Akanchar. I researched in Bhaktivinoda Thakur's books, and it was he who recommends these different things on the Purushottamas. But one pastime in particular that I want to talk about tonight was the Brahma Vimohana Leela. And that means Brahma being bewildered by Krishna. So this is such an interesting pastime, and I'll try to tell it real quickly. Once upon a time, Krishna killed a big snake. And that snake was known as the, what? Agasura snake. And how many years old was Krishna at that point? Anyone know? Five. He was 5 years old. Interesting. But the reason I'm giving the age is because that relates to the pastime. So what happened is after the Agasura snake was killed, Krishna and the coward boys decided to take a break and go along the riverbank to eat some food. And so they sat around in different circles, concentric circles, and everyone thought that Krishna was right by his side. This is an elaborate description given in the 13th chapter of the 10th canto of Srimad Bhagavatam. So as they were eating lunch, some of the calves wandered off. So Krishna said to his friends that, please sit and take prasad. I will actually find the calves for you. So Krishna left, and Krishna hadn't eaten a full meal then. It's described that Krishna had some foodstuffs in his hands, and he was eating that way. So he wasn't completely fasting at that particular point. So Krishna left, and when he went to look for the calves were gone. Hare Krishna. The calves were gone. And then when he came back to look for the coward boys, they were gone too. The reason they were gone is that, now this is a very interesting story told by Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur. Lord Brahma did not take them. Did you know that? That he wanted to take them. He was watching Krishna's pastimes. As they were taking place, he saw Krishna kill the Agasura serpent. But he was thinking, I want to test Krishna. How powerful is this little boy? You know, he seems to know something, seems to be a little powerful. Let's give him a test. And also, he was thinking, I want to show off my power. So these two motives were there. So, as a result of that, he wanted to kidnap Krishna's coward boys and calves. But there's a problem. He couldn't kidnap Krishna's coward boys and calves in the same way that your friend Ravana could not kidnap Sita Devi. Because the coward boys and calves, as well as Sita Devi, are, let's say, it's spiritual. And you can't, by material means, take away spiritual things or spiritual personalities from the Supreme Personality of God. So like with Sita Devi, there was a Maya Sita who was produced. And that Maya Sita was put in Sita's place, and the real Sita was taken by Agni, the fire god. Of course, the Maya Sita later on fell in love with Lord Ram and wanted to marry him. Did you know that? It's an interesting story. And he said, I can't. Later on, she appeared as Bhu Devi and married Balaji. And there's another story. That's not the story I'm going to tell right now, because that would take too long. So what happened is that in the same way, they were shadow, let us say, copies of the coward boys and calves produced for Lord Brahma to take. And Krishna put his original coward boys and calves, Yogamaya actually arranged for them to be hidden somewhere else. It's interesting. Anyone ever hear that before?
Yeah, the first time.
This is the first time. This is all from Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur. It's not from my imagination. Don't worry. So Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur, in his commentary on the 10th canto of Srimad Bhagavatam, and also Rita Nandamaraj's commentary on the 10th canto, he mentions this briefly too. Because Brahma couldn't have touched the coward boys. Ravana couldn't have touched Sita Devi. It's just not possible. It's not possible. You know, matter can't touch spirit. It certainly can't interfere with spirit. So, so Lord Brahma thought he had kidnapped the coward boys and the calves, and Krishna understood what was happening right away. He understood it was Lord Brahma's business. And he thought, well, I have several things to accomplish with this particular pastime. One of the things was he wanted to teach Lord Brahma a lesson. And he wanted, this is his playful interaction with Lord Brahma. He wanted to bewilder Lord Brahma. He wanted to make Lord Brahma anxious. He wanted to make Lord Brahma humble. He wanted Lord Brahma to come and pray as he does in the 14th chapter, of the 10th canto of Srimad Bhagavatam. So, but there was another very important purpose. And that purpose had to do with his interactions with his associates in Vrindavan, particularly the mothers and fathers of the coward boys and the cows that were the mothers of the calves. And what was that purpose? That the that the mothers and fathers of the coward boys actually loved Krishna more than they did their own children. They always wanted Krishna to be their kid. That is interesting, because generally a mother doesn't love anyone else more than her own son. In fact, you know, Prabhupada gave that expression that even a mother has a son who is blind, she calls the son lotus-eyed one. And Prabhupada, I don't know if I should use this expression in class, but Prabhupada said the mother even considers the stool of the child to be like sandalwood pulp. That's quite interesting from a sannyasi's perspective. So, anyway, so the parents of the coward boys, they actually loved Krishna more. And so Krishna fulfilled their particular desire by expanding himself in the same form as all the calves and coward boys. It was the same Krishna. And becoming the child of all the mothers and fathers in Vrindavan. It's interesting, isn't it? So they got a chance to actually have Krishna as their son. And so their love was overflowing at that particular point. In fact, the love of the cows was overflowing towards their calves. So much so that in little less than a year before or after this pastime occurred, the stealing occurred, Balaram was with Krishna and he observed something really unusual. He observed that the cows that were with their really small calves, not the calves that were taken away or supposedly taken away by Lord Brahma, or actually hidden by Krishna, that the cows who were with their really small calves on the top of Govardhan Hill neglected their newborn calves and ran down Govardhan Hill to be with their older calves who were actually Krishna. And the coward men couldn't stop them. They were on top of Govardhan Hill and they just like jogged down or, you know, ran down the hill as fast as they could to be with the calves that were Krishna. And the men, the coward men, were pretty upset. They were thinking, what are our sons doing? But when they came down and saw their sons, who were actually Krishna too, they became more affectionate towards their sons. So in this way, Krishna fulfilled those desires of the residents of Vrindavan to actually be able to associate with Krishna in such an intimate way. So eventually, after a year occurred, Brahma came back. He wanted to see, you know, what was happening. And then he looked down and he saw the same calves and cowherd boys were with Krishna. And he was thinking, what is going on here? Because I've stolen them. I put them in the cave. I put them to sleep by my mystic potency. Actually, as I mentioned before, they weren't the calves and cowherd boys. They were just reflections or shadows. So he was thinking, what's happening here? And then Krishna showed him how each and every coward boy and calf was non-different from him. And that the way he showed him was that each and every one of them appeared in their Vishnu forms. In other words, one second Lord Brahma was looking at the cows and calves, and the next second he was seeing all these Vishnus out there that were that indicating that Krishna had actually appeared like that. So of course Brahma at that particular juncture became so overwhelmed that he started crying. And this pastime happened right next to Govardhan Hill, because the cows and the calves they were generally pasturing on Govardhan Hill. And Lord Brahma cried. And then a whole kund came from Lord Brahma's tears. That kund is called Brahma kund. And that there's several Brahmakundas, but the Brahmakunda that's most famous is on the side of Govardhan Hill, right next to another famous kund known as the Manasi Ganga. Anyone seen that kund?
Yes.
Manasi Ganga is in the middle of Govardhan. That Ganga was created by Krishna from his mind, because Krishna had killed the Vatsasura demon, the calf demon. And the coward boy said to Krishna, "We don't want to go near you because you have killed a calf." Extremely sinful to kill a calf. To kill a cow, to kill an ox, to kill a bull, or to kill a calf. Extremely sinful. In fact, the karmic reaction is you have to take birth as a cow or a calf, as a bull, for every hair on the animal that has been killed. Even if you don't kill it, even if you eat it, even if you transport it, even if you condone the activity, you're still responsible according to the laws of karma. So anyway, so Krishna was told by the coward boys, you have to go to the Ganges. And Krishna said, I'm not leaving Braj. And so instead he created the whole Ganges, the Manasaganga, from his mind. And that's the Manasaganga, which is right next to the Brahmakund. So Brahma, in addition to be crying, he prayed to Krishna. And this whole 14th chapter, which is a very wonderful chapter of the 10th canto of Srimad Bhagavatam, is filled with Lord Brahma's tears as he prayed, Lord Brahma's prayers as he cried to Krishna. And one interesting prayer we're going to talk about right now is the request that Lord Brahma makes to Krishna, the sort of at the end of the chapter. And that request is that let me be born, even as an animal, if I could be born in Vrindavan. He's praying like that. And so, of course, that's very similar to Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's teaching, Mama Janmani, Janmani Shrey Bhavata Bhakti Ahoy Tibhutwaye. I will take birth after birth. Also similar to Bhaktivinoda Thakur, who says, Kita Janma Hoy Yatatuya Das, that I'll take birth even as an insect if I can be your devotee. So Lord Brahma was illustrating his pure devotional sentiment in praying to Krishna in such a way that he was willing to take birth after birth to serve Krishna life after life. So this particular chapter actually, in one sense, is a glorification of Lord Brahma. In one sampradaya, part of our sampradaya, the Madhvacharya sampradaya, many of his followers don't talk about this pastime because it's the Brahma Madhva Gaudiya sampradaya, because they don't like to talk about Lord Brahma being an illusion. But this illusion that Lord Brahma experienced was Yogamaya. It wasn't Mahamaya. And it was a pastime of the Supreme Personality of God. And so it's nothing that you criticize Lord Brahma for. So after this, Krishna brought back all the cows, all the calves, and the coward boys. But they didn't remember what had happened. And at this point, when they went home, they were actually 6 years old instead of five. Krishna was 6 years old. That's why I mentioned in the beginning of the story that Krishna was five. So as the story ends, he's 6 years old, 6 years old, and the coward boys didn't remember anything about their year because they were actually in a sleeping condition during that year. And the thing they talked to their parents about was the killing of the Agasura demon, which had occurred a previous year from that. So this pastime is remembered, and the prayers of Lord Brahma are remembered on this particular during this particular month. So the devotees are advised to meditate on the pastime and the prayers of Lord Brahma during the month of Kartik, and of course during the Purushottam Mass. And of course they should also hear the other pastimes, the Vrindavan pastimes of Krishna, because specifically it is meant for meditating on the Brahman. Brahma Vimona Lila and the Vrindavan pastimes of the Supreme Personality of God. So we'll keep it short. Any questions or comments about Purushottam Mass or the ways of observing it? Yeah.
Mother, I have this question with the job we're doing, driving taxis, sometimes we have to bring from Walmart to their home. And they're carrying meat. I found out last week.
Yeah.
So what is the reaction of that? What do we should do about it?
Well, first of all, that's your occupation. Every occupation is covered by some. You're not doing that deliberately. Obviously, you're not saying, let's go buy meat. So, Krishna protects you under those circumstances because you're doing your job, you're giving the results to Krishna, you're maintaining your family, and every sort of endeavor. I remember during the 1960s and 70s, one of the main industries we had in the Krishna conscious movement was the incense industry. None of you would remember that. Every temple was supported by selling incense. And you know who bought incense and for what purpose? Does anyone know? Make a few guesses. They bought incense. Most of the people who bought incense were hippies. And the reason they bought incense was to sort of mask the smell of marijuana. So any job, I mean, for example, let's say you buy something from the supermarket, just vegetables, and you pay the teller, and the money goes into the supermarket chain. What do you think they do with the money? They're doing all sorts of things that are not really, as they say, kosher, if you know what that means, are not proper, that are karmically connected. So there's no way to avoid some connection with activities that are karmically heavy. But as Krishna says, aham tvam sarvapapevyo moksha yashami masu jaha, that if we're giving the results to him, if we're serving him, if we're chanting, then Krishna will protect us from the service. Because sometimes it's unavoidable. I mean, I was, one time I had to go shopping with my father. This is a long time ago, before he passed away. I was buying vegetables, and he bought meat, because my father was not a vegetarian at that time. And we got out of the car, and he said, you want to help carry the bags in? And I said, I'll only carry my bags in. And he was a little upset with me, but, you know, because I didn't want to be carrying meat. So you have to try to avoid those circumstances as much as possible. But if you're driving a taxi, I mean, you're picking people up who are buying liquor too, right? And this is New Orleans. It's not exactly the kingdom of God. I mean, it's definitely not the heavenly planets. I mean, especially the French Quarter, the hotels. I mean, what are people doing? I mean, and then you're picking up people who are having illicit life. I mean, or people who are gambling. Are there gambling casinos here in New Orleans?
Yeah.
So you're picking up people, taking them to gambling. But that's your occupation. There's no way you can avoid. I mean, if you think of any occupation or any job you have in this world, there's always going to be some interaction or some connection. I mean, let's say you're becoming, you sell tickets in the airplane. Then you're selling tickets to people for people who go to New Orleans or Las Vegas or do sinful things. You know, what can you do? You can't avoid these things. But try to minimize. Before I joined the movement, many years ago, I drove a taxi too. That may come as a surprise to you. Of course, I was only 18 years old. And that's where I got my first Bhagavad Gita, from one of the taxi drivers. So maybe you want to carry a few small books around too, to give to people if they're interested. I mean, there's ways to try to engage people in Krishna consciousness. I have one disciple who's a social worker, and she doesn't get people to chant Hare Krishna, she gets people to say Gauranga. She says to all of her clients who come, she says, what's the magic word? Gauranga. There's another devotee who's in North Carolina who goes out to collect on Sankirtan, and she dresses up as a clown. Maybe you've met her before.
Yeah.
Sadhvi. And her name is Neet Tai. So she gets people to say Neet Tai. Pretty good, isn't it? So there's ways to engage people. But overall, you really can't avoid some sort of interaction with these activities that are going on. But yourself, you should be as strict as possible, and you know, chant your rounds every day, and follow the practices of Krishna consciousness. Then Krishna will protect you. There's so many things that we do, or any of us, I mean, I buy things too in the supermarket. So we just have to minimize these things. So, does that answer your question?
Thank you.
Yeah, I mean, obviously, you can't avoid it. Yeah.
Maharaj, as you said, people doing more sinful activities now than 5,000 years before, right? So how then Mother Earth is making balance? Or how she is tolerating? Why she is not doing?
Well, she's not tolerating very well. You heard of global warming.
Or if people were more sinful before than now?
If people, well, certainly not more than Duryodhana.
So
but people are much more sinful as far as eating the cow and everything like that. Yes, and so people are suffering more in different ways. Like you find in America a very high rate of depression. Many of these countries, very, very high rate of depression, different diseases, anxiety. And the main diseases in the modern world are anxiety and depression. So, you know, people suffer. And unless we're in tune karmically, we're in tune with the earth, then basically humankind will be in great danger. I mean, look at global warming. It's a fact. Hare Krishna. The many countries are going to be submerged. In 20 to 50 to 70 years, this is scientific, that cities like New Orleans, cities like New York will be underwater if the trend continues. So we have to be very serious about protecting the Bhumi, protecting the earth. So yes, I mean, she'll give us some time. Other times all the Kshatriyas were killed was Parashuram. Parashuram killed them 21 times or something like that. Right? I mean, because they were a burden upon the earth planet. Was it 21 or 22?
21.
21 times. Yeah, 21 times. Like blackjack. So,
so Krishna doesn't need to come
personally. No, Krishna doesn't have to come personally to kill the demons. Prabhupada actually personally said, Prabhupada says that the demoniac mentality can be killed, they can be killed by Krishna's material energy. Durga is perfectly capable of doing that. But the reason Krishna personally comes is actually to, first of all, enjoy his pastimes. Secondly, to show his transcendental nature so people can understand what he's like and become attracted. If Krishna hadn't come 5,000 years ago, how would we know what Krishna is like? How would we know his qualities? How could we go to his holy dham of Vrindavan or Mayapur 500 years ago when Lord Chaitanya appeared, unless he appeared? We'd be lost, right? We'd be just speculating upon the nature of God. We'd be thinking anthropomorphically that God must be like me. In other words, projecting one's own conceptions upon God. And that's what most religions do. They have a conception of what God must be like. I mean, for example, in the Sistine Chapel, you find God depicted as an old man. Because God is old. He's the oldest person. But also Navayovanamcha, he's always youthful at the same time. So if you use your imagination, you'll never understand who God is. They probably call it imaginative iconography. So therefore God comes. That's it. He comes and then also attracts us by his activities, pastimes, his form, his associates. And he also enjoys coming and doing certain pastimes he doesn't do in the spiritual world, like killing demons. Those pastimes don't exist in the spiritual world because there's no demons in the spiritual world. So Krishna likes to have this, we were speaking earlier about ghastly rasa. You know, ghastly rasa, Krishna enjoys that, you know, doing really a good fight. For example, if you want to fight with someone else here, you won't do it in the temple room, right? If you get angry at one of the other devotees, you'll say, let's go outside. So in the same way, when Krishna wants to have a good fight, he says to one of his devotees, like Jayam Vijay, let's go outside for a minute. And outside means material world. They go outside and Krishna ends up killing, you know, Hiranyakashipu, Hiranyaksha, Ravana, Kumbhakarna, Dantavakra, Shishupal, right? So these are reasons. But the demoniac things can be actually destroyed without Krishna's intervention. That can be done by Krishna's devotees, and also establishing religious principles can be done by Krishna's devotees. Srila Prabhupada perfectly capable of doing that. But Krishna himself comes for his specific reasons. And so, you know, Kali Yuga is going to happen without Krishna doing anything. You know, people are going to be living this short, living underground, eating human flesh, no vegetables or anything nice to eat. And eventually Krishna will come as Kalki to take care of him at the end of the Kali Yuga. So any other questions or comments?
What happened to those boys, original boys?
They were put by Yogamaya. Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur says they were put by Yogamaya, kept somewhere.
When came back?
And then they came back. But the shadow boys, I guess they merged into the, you know, they were shadow, like Jaya Sita, like that emerged into the original boys. They were created by Yogamaya because, this is Vishwanath Chakravarti's Thakur's statements, because they could not be touched by Lord Brahman. In the same way, Sita could not be touched by Ravana. It's that interesting story, isn't it? Yeah.
Why Krishna manifest that Manusimha?
I thought I told that story. I just told the story.
Only for that reason.
Well, for other purposes too. First of all, he manifested the Manasiganga from his mind. Later on, Ananda Maharaj wanted to go to the Ganges, and Krishna said, no, here's the Ganges. And Ganga Devi came out of the Manasiganga. And then there's all these boat pastimes that occurred on the Manasiganga. You know those boat pastimes? I'll tell you one. Since I reside in Vrindavan, I know all these stories. So what happened is, one time the gopis wanted to cross the Manasiganga, which happens to be one of the biggest bodies of water in Braj. So they wanted to go from one side to another with all their milk products. So there was no boat there. Finally, the gopis looked around, and there was a old boat with an old boatman in it. Really old, 95 years old. At least he looked 95 years old. It was Krishna. But he was just like, he had a hood over his head, what they call hoodie. He had a hood over it, so he looked really old, and the boat looked like it had a bunch of holes in it. So what happened is that they said, "Boatman, can you take us across?" And he said, "All right, I'll take you across." You know, very old man. So they got a little ways into the water, and he said, "I don't have any more strength. I need to eat some of your milk products." So he ate some of the milk products. And then he said, Oh, I'm tired now. Please massage me." And the gopis, not knowing it was Krishna, said, "We'll grab your hands and feet and throw you in the water unless you get rowing." You know, they got really angry. So then Krishna kept rowing and rowing. And then the boat started to take on water because it had holes in it. And Krishna said, acting as the boatman, you got to throw some things away. And so they had to throw eventually most of their milk products off the boat, called overboard. And it still kept sinking, and Krishna said, "Well, the only thing left for you to throw over, you throw your clothes away too." And they didn't know it was Krishna yet. So then they said, "Well, we're going to throw you off the boat, so you better keep rowing." And so he kept rowing, then there was a storm, and the boat was rocking side to side. They were getting really scared. And then Srimati Radharani happened to see a flute sticking out from the boatman's belt. And then she looked closely, and she saw the boatman was Krishna. And then, being scared, she embraced Krishna. And the story had a happy ending. So there was many reasons for the Manasiganga. The Manasiganga lake also has the Mukharavinda temple there. Mukharavinda means the mouth of Govardhan. According to Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur, that's the real mouth of Govardhan. The followers of Ballabhacharya, the Pushti Marg devotees, they consider the mouth to be somewhere else in Yatipur. But that's not the mouth of Govardhan, according to Shilabhakti Sananta Saraswati Thakur. Anybody's been to these different places?
Yes.
Yeah. According to Bhakti Sananta Saraswati Thakur, the actual mouth of Govardhan is right at the Mansa Ganga. And also there's the Bhajan Kutir of Sanatan Goswami, and the guardian, Chakaleshwar Mahadev, of the whole Govardhan area is there, the manifestation of Lord Shiva, Chakaleshwar Mahadev. And he got rid of all the mosquitoes so Sanatan Goswami could stay there and do his bhajan. So there's many things that occurred at this place. Also, in the Manasiganga area, it's called Chakaleshwar Mahadev because the Sudarshan Chakra, during the time when Indra was trying to kill all the residents of Vrindavan by flooding them, hovered over Govardhan and dried up the water, so Govardhan really didn't get hurt by the water. Did you know that? And then, but the water that fell elsewhere in Braj was collected by Balaram, and that was kept in a kund called Sankarshan Kund, which is right next to the Anakuk Kshetra place. Yeah, anyway. Anyway, there's so many stories about Govardhan. If you get me started, I'll just tell Govardhan stories all night. So, any other questions? Any of the ladies have questions about any things we said? So, yeah.
Connection with the Ramavilaha Leela, Prabhupada writes in one purport, I think it's in the Madhya Leela, that Madhvacharya purposely avoided commenting on that.
Yeah.
With fear of jeopardizing the validity of the Sampradaya.
Yeah.
In other words, the logic, if the first person is off, then the whole thing's off.
Right. That's it. I actually briefly mentioned that the Chakravadis, who are followers of Madhvacharya, don't talk about that at all. They sort of skip over that whole chapter. Because if you criticize, you know, the original person of the Sampradaya, calls into question everything else. So, of course, that's a pastime. That's a pastime. So we're not criticizing Lord Brahma. We're actually saying he was such a great devotee, he got a chance to take part in Krishna's intimate pastimes. So instead of even criticism of him, it's actually an exaltation of him. So, but the followers of Madhvacharya, generally they don't deal so much with the intimate pastimes of Krishna Vrindavan either. The deep understanding of the pastimes of Vrindavan started really with Madhavendra Puri. And therefore, whenever Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu came in touch with someone who understood and appreciated these pastimes, he understood they had a connection with Sri Prabhupada Madhavendra Puri. So, any other questions or comments? No? All right, we want to thank everybody very much. It's 8 o'clock already. All glories to His Divine Grace. Srila Prabhupada, Jiva Prabhupada, Ki Jai, Purushottama Mas, Ki Jai.
Hari Bol.